Thank you so much, Gus, for that word. It's good to see what God is doing, is it not? The influence we can have. Stand with me for the reading of the scriptures. I'm going to read from Exodus, then the Psalms, 1 Corinthians, Galatians. Oh my word, is he ever going to get done with the scriptures? Yes. They're pretty brief passages. Exodus 34, 6 through 7 says, the Lord, compassionate and gracious God. Here's a key phrase, slow to anger. Say it with me, slow to anger. Abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Psalm 103, 8 through 12. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. Oh, there it is again. Say it with me. Slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Aren't you glad? Or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, love is patient. Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience. And then James 1, 19 through 20, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and there it is again, say it with me, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Let's pray. Father, help us as we continue our study in the fruit of the Spirit. This one is tough, and I just pray that our hearts would be open to receive, and your Spirit would teach us in these next moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Patience, that most dreaded of Christian virtues. Patience. We need it, but we have this universally accepted rule about not asking for it. Don't ask for patience. Don't. I mean, that's like the first thing you tell somebody. Oh, your sins are forgiven. Don't ask for patience. God's forgiven you. Don't ask. Don't do it. Don't do it, because God will put you through something that will make you grow in patience. Don't ever admit it. Lord, I need patience. Because we're worried that God is going to send some unbearable person or circumstance to increase our patience. I mean, after all, look what happened to Job. Right? I mean, he is the one person that is, doesn't matter what religion, if you're an atheist, you know that person has the patience of Job. It's a cliche in our culture. Why is there so much fear and trembling over patience? Why the dread and dismay over one of the Lord's best gifts? Why would we want to avoid one of God's own best qualities that we benefit from on a daily basis? I mean, if God wasn't patient, where would you be today? Exactly, yeah. Okay, so hopefully the Holy Spirit is going to allay all of our fears about patience this morning. If this virtue grows in us, we will be able to love extravagantly like Jesus does. I'm going to say that again. If patience grows in us, we will be able to love extravagantly like Jesus does. If patience remains stunted, we are going to be limited, if not outright incapable of loving like Christ loves. So, we're going to face our unwarranted fears about patience and learn to nurture it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, to gain confidence in patience, we're going to break down James' statement. And it just slow to become angry. Patience and temperament is where we begin, and we're just going to break this statement down segment by segment. Patience and temperament, slow to become angry. It is best to start with James' last quality of patience, because it is God's first quality of patience. It actually comes before he is full of loving kindness. God is patient. He is slow to become angry. And remember, all of the virtues listed in Galatians 5:22 have their origin in God. You can't do these things without divine assistance. It's impossible for us to do this. In fact, we need to really consider this over the next several weeks, because the things we're talking about, patience and kindness, goodness, gentleness, all those, man, that is really tough stuff. And when you look at this, you're like, there's no way. Don't throw your hands up. The Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is living in you and is enabling you to manifest that part of the character of Christ. Remember, we Pentecostal and charismatic Christians are like, yeah, we need the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And we're thinking prophecy and tongues, interpretation of tongues, words of wisdom, miracles, all this stuff. Yeah, are those manifestations of the Holy Spirit? Yes. But don't forget that same manifestation language that comes out of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 is also found in Galatians 5, and the fruit of the Spirit is. So love, joy, peace, patience, all those things are also manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In fact, love is the governing manifestation of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have love, but you're a prophet, you are nothing. If you speak in tongues, but you don't have love, you're just making noise. If you give your body to be burned at the stake, give everything you have to the poor, but you don't have love, you have accomplished what? Nothing. So the manifestations that govern the miraculous manifestations are the fruit. We need those. They are essential. So this all comes from God. In other places, the scriptures clearly equate God with love, joy, and peace. John tells us directly, God is love. 1 John 4:8. Old Testament prophet Zephaniah tells us that the Lord rejoices over us with singing. Zephaniah 3:17. And of course, Paul repeatedly tells us that Christ is our peace in Ephesians 2:14 and other places. James helps us to understand that God is patient. God is patient. We think, oh, God is love. Yes. God is peace. Yes. But God is also what? Patient. Patient. And this is not just some New Testament thing that James and Peter and Paul and these guys dream up. It's astonishing to realize that the Old Testament consistently portrays God as patient. It was the one quality that Jonah hated about God. I knew that you'd be patient and full of loving kindness toward these crazy murderous people. He was angry about it. This is the one thing that got him upset. We've been led to believe that in the Old Testament, God was a quick-tempered, vengeful, raging maniac who nobody wanted to mess with. You mess with God or his people, he will strike you, and he'll turn you crispy. The ground will open. Flames will rage. You will fall into the pit. God is impatient. We need a better reading of the Old Testament than that, do we not? I mean, if you step out of line, he's going to light you up. No. Look what he commanded. Oh, pastor, come on, seriously. Yeah, I know. Look what he commanded the Israelites to do to those poor Canaanites. Was it necessary to wipe their memory from the face of the earth? How is that patient? How is that slow to anger? Is this really a healthy temperament for a loving God? I getcha. The problem resides in our poor reading of the scriptures. If we take just that Canaanite example that everybody turns to, oh, he lit them up. We discover that God gave the Canaanites 5 centuries to repent. 5 centuries to repent. In Genesis 15:16, the Lord tells Abraham, before there was a nation of Israel, that the sin of the Canaanites had not reached its full measure, but it would reach its full measure 500 years later in Exodus 12:40, when the Israelites finally make it to the promised land. Let me ask you a question. Was God patient with the Canaanites? 500 years? Anybody here ever have to put up with somebody for 500 years? It felt like it. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking because I feel that sometimes. So in Exodus 34 and Psalm 103 state, God is slow to anger. They are telling the truth about our God. He is slow to anger. Anybody who could tolerate the evils of the Canaanites for 500 years, heinous sins of child sacrifice, sexual perversion, idolatrous worship, sounds a lot like America. God is patient, and it is a good thing. Peter tells us that God is patient, not wanting any to what? Perish, but all to come to repentance. Patience is about temperament. It's all about temperament. We all know what it means. Do you guys, I shouldn't make this assumption. Do you know what it means to be quick-tempered? Okay, we do. All right. Fellow sufferers, thank you for being honest. We know what it is to be quick-tempered. We know quick-tempered people. We've been quick-tempered ourselves, and we have no English equivalent for the concept of its opposite. We have quick-tempered. That's it. That's what we have. Well, what's the opposite? Long-tempered. Or as the King James used to say, what? Long-suffering. Right? You have to say it the right way. It doesn't come across long-suffering. Long-suffering, right? That's exactly what the Bible means when it says patient, long-tempered, long-fused, slow to become angry. Think for a moment about the situation and or people, the situations and people who annoy and irritate you the most. You got those in your mind? Do I need to give you a few minutes? No, I didn't. We're quick-witted too, aren't we? Okay, yeah. That there's something that rubs you the wrong way. There's something that makes you easily angered, a little agitated, frustrated. These situation and people test our ability to be patient. And quite honestly, remember, all of the 8 attributes after love are components of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, singular. And then the other 8 items are love. Okay? In producing patience within us, the Holy Spirit is helping us to slow our response, to lengthen our fuse. He's helping us to demonstrate self-awareness. Don't underestimate the importance of self-awareness. Knowing what triggers the short fuse. And he's helping us become self-controlled. Another fruit, right? Relenting control to someone or something that we would rather walk away from. And he's trying to help us to do this for the sake of loving that person like Christ would love them. Patience is also about our relationship with time. This is critically important. When we're impatient, we say things like, I'm done with this, I don't have time with this, I'm busy, they take up so much of my time. I love what author Dallas Willard, one of my favorite Christian authors, did to put his impatience in line. He would look for the slowest, longest line at the grocery store, the pharmacy, the car wash, the oil change, and he would enter that line to press his flesh into submission and give the Holy Spirit an avenue to work patience in him. I dare you. Now, let me rephrase that. I triple dog dare you. You can't turn that down. You know that, right? That's how this rule works. I dare you to do that. You're at the grocery store this week. Find the longest, slowest moving line and get in it. Well, I have places to be. You need to revamp your relationship with what? Time. You know what? I was at the bank the other day at the drive-thru, and the first thing, like, I'm sitting back waiting to see who leaves first. Get in the line with the most cars and sit there and wait while that person takes out a home loan through the drive-thru. You know they're in there, right? Because what does it do? It puts you in an environment where the Holy Spirit can actually work patience in you and challenge the anger and your issues with time. We view time as a commodity, as something that we have complete control over. How foolish we are. We think that we're masters of the time we have. We try to squeeze as much from time as we possibly can, and the Holy Spirit is attempting to infuse our souls with a new attitude toward time. He's attempting to help us see all of life through the lens of eternity. Let me ask you a question. Do you think there's going to be a lot of hustle and bustle and rushing and to-do lists and calendars in heaven? I know we have to operate by that now. Please understand. Don't like go to work tomorrow and say, Pastor said I don't have to live by your schedule. But we need to relax a little bit about time, don't we? We get really uptight. We're in a rush. And when we're in a rush, it's difficult to slow our anger down. Why is there road rage? Because people have a bad relationship with time. It's true. Our temperament gets snappy. We're easily irritated and angered by those who stand in the way of our plans and our schedules. So next, we discover that being patient means being slow to speak and quick to listen. Patience in conversation. Wow, this is really where this rubber hits the road in this thing, right here. You thought the other one was tough. Hang on. Slow to speak and quick to listen. We're living in a society that sees control over time as paramount. Few people are patient enough simply to listen. We want to be heard. We've been told that we have a right to be heard. Is anybody out there championing the right to listen? I have a right to be heard. America, we have freedom of speech. You also have the freedom to listen. That's a tough one for us. It really is. Why are patience and listening so closely related in Scripture? Because listening hands control to another person. Thank you for being here this morning. You have handed control to me for 30 minutes. Or 40. Or 45. Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Thank you, Tracy. I love that. It is. I'm giving control to another person. Remember that patience is a component of love, right? Christian love, by definition, is focused on who? Others. It's not focused on the person I look at the mirror in the morning. It's focused on other people. It prefers others above or before self. So patience is immediately focused on other people. And there are few places that we modern people exhibit more impatience than in conversation. This is terrifying. When we're speaking to other people, we tend to listen to formulate a response. Well, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I've got 15 things I'm going to say, some witty, some kind, some sarcastic, some, you know. It's all going on inside there. God made us wonderfully, didn't he? He created us very complex beings. They're speaking, the wheels are turning, we're figuring out what witty, charming, humorous, harsh thing we're going to say in response. We're only listening to be heard. We are not listening to understand. Pause. Married folks, how would your marriage be different if you listened to understand rather than listened to respond? You hear what I'm saying, don't you? Your marriage would be perfect if everybody listened to understand and didn't listen to give a remark. Patience hands control to others in the conversation. It empowers them to actually be heard. And one of the best ways to describe patience, I believe, is medically. Anybody here been a patient before? Yeah, too many times. I get it. Yeah, exactly. I've been a patient, right? When you have an illness, you hand control of the situation over to a qualified professional to run diagnostics, to come up with a treatment plan. You are relinquishing control to the other person, and because you relinquish control to them, you become their patient. So if we want to be patient, we want to exhibit patience, we have to relinquish control to the other person in the conversation. And everything in me just goes, oh, because I want to be heard. When you are patient, you are being acted upon by other people. Being slow to speak and quick to listen is a similar thing. You're requiring yourself to give up control of the conversation and submit to being acted upon by the words of another person. It's uneasy because we like to be in control. It requires us to be other-centered, which means we need to be loving. Oh, all we need is love. Yes, all we need is love. And part of that is patience, giving control to the other person and listening to understand, caring more about the opinion of the other person than our own, more about their need to be heard than our need to be heard. Handing control to another demands that we mature in self-awareness. Rather than dominating or monopolizing a conversation, we gladly pause to just listen and understand. The goal is no longer speaking in conversation. The goal is understanding what's going on. I went through a situation several years ago. Deb and I and some friends were swimming at the Y. The sun at the Y is a great place to meet people who need Jesus, by the way. Can I tell you that? If you just see you need to go there. I still have people that I see in the community that we met at the sauna. And they have first names, and they are sauna Fred. Sauna, you know, it just this is who they are. And during that time, one of the guys brought a friend in who had a moral life that did not line up with evangelical Christianity very well. And when he found out that I was a pastor, he wouldn't talk. Because of how he had been treated by evangelicals, because of how he assumed evangelicals would treat him, can I tell you that no evangelical had listened to him and the plight of his life? We were impatient because our opinions and our theology and our ideology stood in the way of actually loving this human being. And he painted us with broad strokes, rightly so, because of the impatience of a few. Quick to listen, slow to what? Speak. If the folks that he had run into had shut their mouths and opened their ears, he may be a Christian today. But because of impatience and a demand to be heard by evangelicals, our demand that we be heard, we are damaging our ability to witness. How can I witness to people who are outside my comfort zone? By closing my mouth and opening my ears. And asking genuine questions that I want a response to. Not just leading questions so I can pounce on them with the scriptures. right? This is not about beating people up. It's about showing them Jesus who loves them and can transform them. Amen? That brings us to the next point here. Listening foregoes short-term control for long-term purposes. Short-term control for long-term purposes. Jesus sets the example. 2 Peter 3:9, a verse all of us should know. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Jesus is in the long game. He listens, he is patient, because his desire is people to come to know him, not just to prove his point and that he is right. The goal is redemption and reconciliation. Our salvation rests on God's patience. The salvation of our friends in the community rests on patience. He forgoes short-term control. He refuses to be in a hurry so that people will turn to him in faith. Psalm 103, 8 through 12. God does not treat us as our sins deserve. He's patient. He's playing the long game. And if he wasn't, who could survive? We're in a hurry. When we refuse to listen, we are attempting to exert control. And in turn, we sacrifice the long-term benefits of listening to understand, of allowing people the space to make mistakes, and of caring enough to just be present. Luke 15, read the story of the prodigal son this week sometime. The kid comes to the father in this story, and he says, "I want what's owed me." What's he saying? "I wish you were dead." Parents, what is your natural response to a child who might say something like that to you? "Oh, really?" And what does this dad do? He takes out his checkbook, he writes the check, he gives the kid the money and says, "Go do what you will." He was playing the long game, giving up immediate control for the benefit of the hope that that kid would figure it out. Patience gives people space to make mistakes, to blow it, and figure it out. Our God is gracious. That's what that means. He gives us enough rope to mess up a few times to what? Get us under control so we can what? He doesn't just sit there and say, "I'm going to put my thumb on you." He says, "I want you to go out there and figure it out so that when you come home," what? We have the type of relationship we're supposed to have. That's patience. Finally, this. Patience and abundance of love are constant in these verses, right? Exodus 34, the phrase that immediately follows, "God is slow to anger," is he is abounding in love. He has abundant love. Other translators say God is filled with unfailing love. He is endlessly patient. So much love. Temperament and listening are love's connection to patience. Hear these next two points clearly. If I am easily angered, I am struggling to love. "Oh, no, I'm just frustrated." You know what frustration is? Frustration is a synonym for anger. This is tough stuff, isn't it? I don't know if you're feeling it like I've been feeling it for 3 or 4 weeks. This is tough stuff. Remember Paul's description of love in 1 Corinthians 13? What is the first thing? Love is. Love is patient. Love is, come back, kind, right? The first two things. He feels that patience is such an important component of love that he repeats it by saying love is not easily angered in verse 5. And it calls for self-awareness, paying attention to our attitudes, our inner thoughts. Oh, Lord, help us, our tone of voice. Are we agitated? Do we feel disrupted on the inside? You can feel the chemical change when you want to be easily angered. It's happening inside of you. Do we dread speaking with certain people? Do specific situations agitate us? Then we are struggling to love. Second, if I'm only listening to formulate an answer rather than to understand, I am struggling to love. If I'm listening only to formulate my answer rather than just to simply understand, I am struggling with love. Conversations are not opportunities to be heard. They are opportunities to listen and understand. Because love wants to comprehend where the other person is coming from, how they feel, and what they need. I've shared this story here before. I have a friend who attends from time to time who is transgendered. First time they attended, That was the first thing out of their mouth. And I said, you know, it's great to see you. Tell me where you've been. Tell me what your life. And I started asking questions because that was merely a manifestation of the pain that was going on in the inside. I wanted to get to the story because the story is where the healing needs to happen, not the presentation of the person, not the persona. Listen, if all I had done was listen to formulate a response, I would have said, man, I can't stand the way you live. It's not about the way you live. It's about the hurt that's happening on the inside that Jesus can heal. And I've got to listen to get there, right? I've got to ask genuine questions and pay attention. We're in for the long haul. It requires self-awareness and patience. Any illusions that we know how to love perfectly fall apart under the scrutiny of slow to anger and listening to understand, don't they? But as we grow in patience, we grow in the ability to have abundant love like Christ loves us, selflessly, sacrificially. I don't know about you. Anybody here feel like we desperately need God's help in this? All right. I'm going to ask Don to come to the piano. We do this week after week. We want to ask the Holy Spirit to help us, do we not? So she comes. Would you come and join me? Nothing fancy for an altar call. Just let's gather up around the front and say, Lord, help us love like you love. Give us the patience. Nurture it in us. Take the step and make the risky prayer. Lord, I need help. I need patience. Would you come and let's take some time and just spend some time with the Lord. Lord, I want to be more loving. Lord, I want to be patient like you are patient. I want to be slow to anger, abounding in love. I have to be slow to anger to get there. Help me, Lord, with my temperament. Help me, Lord, with my listening. Help me, Lord, to understand. Would you do that? Come on. Let's just spend a few minutes together asking for the Holy Spirit's help. If we're going to have this happen in our lives, if it's going to bud inside of us, we need to put ourselves in a place where the Spirit can help us. Go ahead and call out to God with your own voices. Even if you remain in that seated place, go ahead and lift your voice and just begin to express it to God. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Slow to anger, abounding in love. Lord, help me. Slow to anger, abounding in love. Help us, Jesus. Thank you. Would you stretch out a hand to someone near you? Even if you're seated, would you just begin to pray for the person on your right and your left and say, Holy Spirit, manifest yourself through them this week. They are open to you. They are open to the fruit of your spirit. They want to manifest the character of Jesus, starting at home and then in their place of work, in their place of recreation, in their place of just sundry activity. Holy Spirit, help us to be patient, to grow in patience, to be slow to anger, abounding in love. Lord, we pray for the person to our right. We pray for the person to our left. We want to be people of character, and not just any character, the character of Jesus. Lord, I want to exhibit the character of Jesus to my wife, to my husband, to my children, to my grandchildren, to my co-workers, to my neighbors. Lord, along the way, at the soccer field, at the baseball field, at the tennis court. Father, we want to exhibit it at the restaurant, at the grocery store, at the gas station this week. We want to be people of your character. When people see us, we want them to see Jesus. We want them to know that we've been with Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be like Jesus everywhere we go. Yes, Lord. Would you stand with us, please? Father, it has been good to be in this place today, to worship you, to take time, to take communion, to be challenged by the beauty of the Word of God from our brother Gus, the ministry of the Gideons, and then, Father, to be challenged with the Scriptures and to pray one for another. Thank you, God, that when we cry out to you sincerely, you hear our prayers and we have what we've asked for. So we leave this place with confidence, knowing that you've heard and you are answering the prayers that we have prayed for each other this morning. Thank you, God. Let's lift our voices in praise to our God. Lord, we lift you up this morning and we praise you. We adore you and we honor you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. It is so good to serve you. Now, Lord, fill us with your presence and send us from this place full of joy, love, peace, and patience. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.